Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
What's good, everybody? Sound the alarm, sound the flashing lights, sound all of the reggaeton, dance hall horns, whatever you need. We've got an emergency Coast to Coast podcast because Hubert Davis and his staff, one day into the longest dead period we've ever seen, have one recruit on campus and get a quick commitment from Will Shaver, 6'10", 245 out of Birmingham, Alabama. This is a special edition, commitment edition of the Coast to Coast podcast. I'm Joey Powell. With me, as always, Sherrell McMillan, Sean Moran. Before we dive into talking about Will Shaver and his commitment to Hubert Davis, I want to give you guys a quick, as you have come to expect, quick dose of love for Johnny T-Shirt. We're special tonight. We're quick on the draw tonight. But you know who's just as reliable as we are, maybe even more? Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Hit them up. JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the best place for University of North Carolina apparel, gear, paraphernalia, any other word that you can think of. They are fine haberdashers of North Carolina gear, whether it be from Nike, Columbia, Cutter & Buck, you name it, Johnny T-Shirt has it. They're locally owned and operated, run by UNC alumni. They appreciate Inside Carolina. We appreciate them. We want you to appreciate them. Check them out, JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Premium subscribers to IC get that extra 10% discount off the top. So use that code found on the premium message boards and make sure you go check out Johnny T-Shirt quickly. Now, for the reason we're all here, let's talk about Will Shaver. Sherrell, this seemed like a pretty, what do they call it? May, June romances. What's the old adage that our grandmothers used to say as a quick, I don't know. You know what they talk about when something happens quickly, akin to a shotgun wedding. I'm struggling here. Tell me about Will Shaver.
So, again, a 6'10 guy out of Birmingham, Alabama. Quick, you keep talking about quick and things happening fast. You know, basically 3 weeks from offer from UNC to commitment to UNC. So about 10 days after his offer, I think he set up an official visit to UNC on the very first day that he could do it. And I think maybe we should have read more into that. You know, there's an old adage for those who have been around IC a long time. There's a brownie, watch what they do, not what they say. And we were listening, I think, to what he said. He set up official visits for Kansas or the schools, and it didn't seem like he was going to end this very quickly. But when you watch what he did, it seemed like, you know, I guess the power of retrospect, it kind of screams that he really, really coveted the UNC offer, and that's where he wanted to go. So it's a good start for Hubert Davis. It's the first high school commitment for Hubert Davis. And I think it's funny, you know, his first three commitments, Justin McCoy, Brady Manick, and Will Shaver, all are the type of big men he has coveted. They're the guys who can face post in space is what I would call it. So the tweak that he's making to UNC offensively really comes through in his first three commitments. All big guys, all versatile, all can shoot out to the three-point line, capable of playing, you know, probably multiple positions.
Yeah, it's like Hubert Davis has this shopping list and there's one item on it. It's like a guy likes one style of sandwich when he goes to the deli to get food. But hey, whatever, it seems to be working for him. And you know, he's one for one. We talked about on the episode that we recorded on Sunday night about this list that UNC was going to have kind of coming through and visiting campus and, you know, the different priorities on this list and the different players. Well, however you want to shake it, UNC is one for one in the Hubert Davis era on high school offers slash commitments. Sean, you're the kind of game analysis guy that IC leans to in situations like this. I think some of the discourse around Shaver is that, well, people look at his old ranking, and granted, we'll talk about rankings in a second, but people look at his old ranking and they're like, well, why is UNC offering this kid? But if you kind of look at his game and how it's evolved somewhat quickly. I don't know if it's him growing into his body or just kind of getting to get some good competition, but whatever, it seems that this is actually a pretty talented player. How do you see a kid like Will Shaver fitting it at UNC, and what do you see that the pluses and minuses of his game? And feel free to go as deep as you'd like to go here.
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, the first thing when it was announced, you see 3-star next to his name, and that's not something you really want to associate UNC basketball with or Hubert Davis's first recruit. But as you mentioned, you know, I think the rankings number 162, but once again, one is really hard to rank anybody outside of the top 50 in general. And two, it's extremely hard to rank after really not getting a good evaluation period, you know, over the last 12, 14 months. So I think when the new rankings are out, you know, hopefully it's not the quote unquote UNC bump, but I think he will definitely see a much more appealing ranking just due to how he has been playing in the spring. He's been playing on the Under Armour circuit, and he's been, you know, each tournament he seems to be playing better and better. And obviously that's why UNC offered a few weeks ago. But in terms of his game, you know, he's a true center. So he's not a, you know, 5'4", he's not a hybrid. His size, he's a true center, but as Pharrell mentioned, he has the ability to score in the post, but he can face up and shoot, and he can step out to the three-point line and knock it down, I think, consistently with kind of his mechanics and his shooting form. He's not definitely not the most athletic or explosive, you know, player around, and I think even, you know, in the high school season, he lost about 40 pounds to get to where he's at right now. And I think, you know, with players like Kennedy Meeks and others, there's still room to go once they get to Carolina. So he's not going to be a finished product by any means when he steps on campus, but he's a guy, you know what position he is. He has the skill set that Hubert Davis and UNC is looking for in being able to score inside and outside. He's really long. I don't know what his wingspan is, but that's kind of what jumped off the page to me, is how long he is. And that kind of negates some of his vertical explosiveness. So, you know, he can protect the rim, you know, just with that length and size as well. I think the question mark defensively will be in the pick and roll, you know, and how teams look to potentially try to get him isolated or how are they hedging, et cetera. But I think, you know, as the first player to commit, he's not going to maybe scare off a potential one and done player. But at the same time, it provides a good baseline for somebody that should be at UNC for several years and a player that should ideally, you know, grow into hopefully a starter. Because I think when you're, you know, we've seen what happens when you've gotten a bunch of guys that are kind of, you know, sub 100 and they don't really materialize. So the goal is to get him into a starter level, I'd say, as a sophomore, junior, and have him be productive as a freshman. So I think that those are the things you see with Shaver, but I think the key thing is he's been improving and playing very well over the past few months, and he's kind of on a upward trajectory, and he has another whole year to continue as the season goes. So that's how I kind of look at it right now, is it's a good baseline for them to build on.
Well, definitely, you mentioned his trajectory. He's trending the right way. He has been trending the right way since his last season. He's playing against competitions. He's got a full summer of competition to continue that trajectory, and then another high school season to work on the things that I'm sure Hubert Davis and the staff will filter to him and to his AAU coaches and to his high school coaches about, you know, areas that he needs to improve. So definitely good to see that. And you know, my old man, whenever he talks about things being large or big, he always says, "Whoa, that's grown. You know, he's grown. That thing's grown." Will Shaver at 6'10", 245 is grown, and he's 17. So, you know, you always hear coaches say you can't coach big, or, you know, you can't teach big, excuse me. I mean, that's just, you've already got that sort of size. And from what Sean has just broken down for us, there's a good baseline of talent plus some room to grow for the Tar Heels. Trill, with the list of players that are coming into campus right now, how would Will Shaver's commitment potentially affect any of those? I think Sean made a great analysis in that Shaver's not the type that's going to scare off a potential one and done or, you know, a blue chip 5-star player at that position. But how do you see Shaver's commitment potentially affecting other members of this class or other prospects that are on the UNC radar?
Well, I think for the guys who fancy themselves as true force, which I guess in this day and age is everyone, for those guys, this is a good thing, because this is a building block that you can say, hey, you might play some center, you know, in a small ball lineup, or you might rotate, but you're not going to be the full-time starting center, because we have that guy. We have Will Shaver there. So I think that is something that can help. They can pitch that. They can say, look, you know, he's here. He can rebound, you know, he can do some of the things that we want in the post that will free you up. Now, we're not saying that you can't play in the post. We're just saying that we have someone in case, you know, you want to showcase your other skills, or we want you to showcase your other skills. So I think that is pretty big. I think for other players, the transfer portal is not going away. So I think a lot of coaches are going to ensure that they have a scholarship or two left over each year, just in case, you know, the perfect player comes down the pike. And for North Carolina, I think that's going to be the case as well. And so other players, you know, other players who might have fancied themselves, you know, Carolina being their leaders, or have thought about committing, you know, they kind of have to hurry up, because now you're looking at a situation where one spot of maybe three big guys is gone. And so there are other players coming on campus, and there are other players that they will probably see in July who may get offers. So I would say that this puts pressure on those folks. If they really, really want to go to UNC, then, you know, they're going to have to do it soon, because the spot could be taken, you know, fairly quickly. We didn't anticipate day two of the live period that one spot would already be gone. So that's just one less spot. And so the urgency for the other folks, I think, increases a ton. That's how it changes things. It gives them cover to say you're not going to play full-time center. And then it also, you know, makes things more urgent for other guys.
That's a great point. So two more things I want to hit before we get out of here. First off, we talked about rankings a little bit. You know, Sean, you mentioned he's in the mid hundreds right now. I know that there's going to be a re-ranking fairly, I don't know, I don't want to say it's soon, but there will be one before the end of the summer, I would assume, after some of the 24/7 guys get to see a lot more of these players. Do either one of you guys just have a kind of a range of where you think Will Shaver might fall before the September rankings? Just take a stab at it.
I'll let Sherelle go first.
That's a zone defense, Sean. We don't allow that here.
I got nothing.
I would say, I mean, I think it'll be top 100. I'd say 75 to 100. You know, if they do a ranking before the July live period begins.
Okay. Sherelle, you don't want to stake a number on it?
Yeah. I know the recruiting guy is supposed to be into rankings, but I'm more into tiers than rankings. And I think once you get past 30, it's kind of, you know, who's going to develop, who picked the best situation, who has drive, who maybe has things that they learn, you know, all that stuff to me is what differentiates, you know, 31 from 117. I don't think there's that much difference in most of those guys as players. So for UNC, you know, they hope that Will Shaver's in the right place. He hopes he's in the right place for development, and that, you know, he outplays his ranking, whatever it is. I mean, but the fact is, you know, I don't want to say rankings are immaterial, but if the head coach finds a guy who fits his system, who he identified, then I think you just kind of have to roll with it. And this is not a situation where, you know, Hubert Davis and Brad Frederick, his primary recruiter, just looked around and was like, oh, let's just go to Birmingham and find this guy. You know, they were looking for, to use the old Taken thing, a particular set of skills, and they found that in Shaver. So I wouldn't worry too much about the ranking as much as I would that this is a guy they specifically targeted since Hubert Davis took over to do what they want to do.
All right. So you didn't give us a number, but I will accept your answer as logic in replacement for a number. And I do want to point out for our listeners, it was perfect. I do want to say for our listeners too, Sherelle was talking about tiers, T-I-E-R-S, not T-E-A-R-S. Those are two different things here. Homonyms, but not exactly the same thing. All right, last question. I saw a note on the old social medias right after Shaver's commitment from a current Tar Heel, Mr. Armando Bacot, who said, and I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have it in front of me, but that that Shaver was going to be a problem. So apparently it sounds like he performed well, or at least at minimum held his own with the players that were back in town playing pickup in the Smith Center. Sean, Sherelle, any thoughts on that? Rello, go to you first.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that Armando said that. I think players a little too often. I wasn't in the building, so I obviously can't say. But I think players sometimes maybe over exaggerate those, like, oh, so and so was a problem. He was so good, and the guy, you know, just can't play. Not saying that's the case with Shaver. That does happen a lot. But it does also happen where situations, you know, we've talked about it in the past, like Nate Britt. One of the reasons that, you know, Roy Williams felt so comfortable with him is because the players raved about how well he was in pickup and how great he played. Same thing with Caleb Love a couple of years ago. So it is meaningful, because I do think the players as stewards of the program. I think that's why it's so important for UNC to have those pickup games, because it's not just the current players. It's anybody who's around, you know, the Carolina basketball program, mm-hmm. and old players. They can kind of get a feel for a guy, and then they can all give a recommendation. And if you get, you know, 10 guys on the current team and 3 former players and say, yeah, this kid can play, that's a pretty strong recommendation from you know, those guys to the head coach. So I think maybe that's part of what that was. So if Armando said it, then, you know, he played really well and was draining threes and looked good.
Sean, any suspicions on your part as to how he might have played or who he might have fared well against to get everybody's attention?
Well, I think, you know, he as you said, he was the first player to take a visit. He is the quote unquote lowest ranked player to take that initial visit. So even without the game, if he's a guy that wanted to go to Carolina, like he's one that would have needed to have committed early on, because higher ranked players are coming from, you know, from behind to take the next visits. But if he wasn't able to compete at that level, I think that would have been sniffed out pretty quickly in the, once again, it's only a few pickup games, but if he's not able to compete at that level, I think Ward would have filtered back pretty quickly. And maybe if he had wanted to commit, it would have said, you know, let's put it on ice for a little bit. So at the very least, it's positive that, you know, he seemed to play well. I think, you know, seemed to compete at that level, ready to take a commitment, knowing that he was the first one of the bigs to come visit.
All right. Well, boys, with that, anything else you want to add before we put a wrap on Mr. Shaver here?
No.
Hearing none, I move that we close this episode of the Coast to Coast podcast. We will definitely put a hot towel on Mr. Shaver and thank you both. Well, are you laughing? Was that too much
a hot
of a reach
towel,
there?
Mr. Shaver? That was good. That was good. That was
See
good.
What I'm doing there? Thank you
yeah.
for picking up on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I caught it.
Sean's on the West Coast. It'll take a little bit for him to get it, but I appreciate you guys joining me as always, especially on such a drop of a hat. But Sherelle McMillan, Sean Moran, always bringing the fire. This has been the most recent and a surprise edition of the Coast to Coast, discussing Will Shaver, the first commitment of the 22 class for Hubert Davis and his staff at University of North Carolina. As always, follow InsideCarolina.com for all of this type of news. Sherelle, Greg Barnes, Sean Moran, Ross Martin, all the writers and contributors in Inside Carolina will be on top of it. So stay tuned to Inside Carolina for more. And if you haven't already, subscribe, get all this content sent directly to your device so you can hear the latest news and the latest updates. And we appreciate you guys being here. Oh, Sherelle has one more note. It just popped in the chat for me before I wrap. One more note, Sherelle.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. You did a great job of closing.
It's all right, man. You're testing
my chops. Full disclosure, I have ruined this podcast like 4 times. Y'all won't get a chance to hear it, but I have destroyed it like 4 times. But yeah, I think Carolina fans also should give kind of a point to the passer to Garrison Brooks, who we mentioned a few times, has been working with Shaver. And, you know, I don't know exactly how like serious they are as friends and how tight they are as far as a relationship, but they have been working out. And, you know, Brooks did kind of mention, we know, Carolina to him. So I think that definitely had an impact. You know, it could be that, Shaver really, really wanted to go to Carolina. And, you know, once he got the offer, that was that. But I do think Garrison Brooks can get an assist on this one.
Well, we will allow it, and we will give him the A in the box score. All right, we meet at this time. Appreciate you guys being here. Sherelle McMillan, Sean Moran, you guys are always on it. Thank you all for listening, for watching. Hopefully we'll be doing more of these because we like giving you guys content, and it's a good sign for the program when they can get players like this to commit so quickly. But we appreciate you all being here. Subscribe, rate, review us. Stay tuned to Inside Carolina. We'll have more as it develops. But for Sherelle McMillan, for Sean Moran, I'm Joey Powell. We'll catch you next time. Late.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.